Thank you, men. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. We thank you for these men and their ministry for us. And we pray that tonight, as we come around this, around your word. So, Lord, we all come here. We've driven in from all kinds of places and all kinds of experiences today. And so tonight we meet you here around your word and in the fellowship of your people and also in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit of God, be our teacher tonight and help us that we might clearly hear and understand what you have to say to us from your word. We desperately need to hear from you tonight so that as we end this day, we honor you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for all that goes on tonight across this church campus. Thank you for our students. Pray for them, leadership, Tim and others, and Steve, the choir, and Todd, and all of our missions and disciple life people, and all of our classes, and all that goes on. So we pray that you're pleased with what we seek to do here tonight in this place. And we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. Good to see all of you. And here we are in Psalm 119. Will we ever be somewhere besides Psalm 119? Well, if you've been with us for the duration, we're coming around the bend. We'll have only two more sections to look at in Psalm 119. And I hope that it's been a blessing for you like it's been for me. Doc has some copies of the study if you need to. If you raise your hand, if you don't have the notes and you want them, this fine-looking young man here will give you a copy of the notes. So it's good to see all of you. And so tonight, I want us to think about this. Okay, so everybody, I know this group. You always look ahead to see what's on the outline. That's the only problem with giving people an outline. So, now that you've seen, we're going to be talking about the living Word of God. Let me have your attention again for a minute. Are there things in your life that take away your life? I mean, just sap the energy out of you, just drain you, just dry you up, just kill you? How many of you would say there are things like that? Okay, things and people, yes. And we're not going to name names tonight, because you might be on somebody else's list that drains the blood out of your head. You know, I mean, you said, hey, I get around them, it just drains the blood. Lance, you can't say it about Rhonda. Rhonda going to say it about you. Oh, okay, well, there you go. All right, well, you're in church, you confessed it, now you're going to be better for it. But there are things that, okay, here's another way. Things that give life, and there are things that bring death. So what we talk about tonight is very important, because we're coming to the end of Psalm 119, and we've been talking about the importance of obeying God's word. And as we've talked about obeying God's word, we've seen all of these various comments from the various first verses of each section. So tonight we look at the letter Resh, the Hebrew letter Resh. So if we were reading this in the Hebrew language, all of the first words of the first verse of each sentence, the first word of each verse would begin with a word with the letter Resh. So tonight we think about and we look at a man who is a psalmist who is talking to us about life and death. Things that bring death and things that bring life. Look, you're always going to have them in this world. You're going to have things that bring life to you, and you're going to have things that bring death to you. And what I want you to see tonight is the beauty of how God's word always brings life. And we must appreciate it. So what do we learn from Psalm 119? It is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is the longest psalm in the Bible. But it is one extraordinary example of the high view of God's word. And if you don't have a high view of God's word, I hope that, you know, you being here whets your appetite for it and you take up your Bible and dig in. So we read tonight, beginning in verse number 153. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me, or your Bible may read, give me life according to your word or your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. 156. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me, or give me life according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your promise, your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, or give me life, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth. In other words, the summary, the conclusion of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So let's do what we do. This is our way of studying. This is what we spend our time on Wednesday nights, to teach us how to carefully study our Bible. When you read your Bible, look for words that are common words, words that are repeated. So three times, let me point them out to you. Three times in this section, we read these words. Verse 154, revive me according to your promise. That's number one. Then we read it in 156, revive me according to your ordinances, or give me life according to your ordinances. Your Bible may read, give me life according to your judgments. And then we read again in 159, revive me, O Lord. Oh, this is different now. According to your loving kindness. So we see in this psalm, we see the man of God, the psalmist, in his obedience to God, talking about the things that give life and the things that take life. So what are the things that take life? Let's before we get into the outline, let me take you to the first slide here, and I want you to notice some words. I want you to think about the words of God. I want you to understand that every word in the Bible is a unique word. I say this to you often, but I cannot overestimate to you the importance of knowing and reading and understanding these words in your Bible. These words that are, they are common words from our English language, but when they are placed and translated from the Hebrew and the Greek into these words that we have in the Bible, they become supernatural words, living words. So, your pastor is a man who believes, and I live by it, and I eat this book because it's the only way to stay alive. And when I do not consume the Word of God, I wither away. And so do you. So we come tonight to understand Jesus' words. Luke 4:4, it's here on the screen. What did Jesus say when he was tempted by the devil? Well, make stones here. You're hungry. Here, just hear these rocks. You're all out here in the wilderness. Just make, you're the Son of God. You go ahead and just make your own bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live. Notice the word live. It's an important word tonight. We saw it already three times. Give me life, or revive me, however your Bible reads. Man shall not live by what he eats, by bread alone. But man shall live. Please notice the words. Deuteronomy 8 is what he's quoting, by every word. So some of you in here looking around, you have children. You got to teach your children every word of God's word. Every word matters. From Old Testament to New. Yes, as New Testament followers of Jesus, we understand the Old Testament in the light of the promises of the Messiah fulfilled in Jesus. And we look back and we understand. But every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, and notice they proceed out of the mouth of God. God is speaking. God is a God who speaks. He is not a God who is silent. God is a God who speaks to us. And then I want you to see what Jesus said in John 6:63, and then down in verse 68, Peter responds. Please, this verse is important, church. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that gives what? Life. We're talking about life now. What gives life and what takes away life? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Please notice Jesus' words. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. They're alive. They're living words. Later in the chapter, you remember Jesus, a bunch of people left following Jesus. He was too strong. His words, follow me now, his words drove them away because he drew a standard and said, if you're going to follow me, this is the way it is. And they left. And remember Jesus said to the disciples, are you going to leave too? And Peter says, one of the times when he had some insight and some sense about him, Lord, where would we go? To whom would we go? Look at this. You have the words, and the way it reads in the Greek language, eternal words. You have eternal words of life. You have life, eternal words. Your words are permanent and eternal. Now, in Matthew 24:35, I didn't give you this verse, but I've quoted it to you before. It's the words of Jesus to remind us, heaven and earth will pass away. Please notice every one of these words I'm using. But my words will not pass away. When you read the Bible and you truly pay attention to what you're reading and you think about these words deeply, they stick inside of you. They get in your brain. They walk with you through the places you go. They go with you through all of the challenges of your life, but you must take them in. So what kills you and what destroys the vitality of your life and what gives you life? Tonight we're going to talk about the living Word of God. Please notice the process here, because this is what I want to comment on all the way through tonight. The words of God give us the life of God. That's what I'm saying in summary. Now you're going to have to stay a little while longer. I mean, that's basically it, but we're going to go through it a little bit. That's the summary. The words of God give us the life of God. The only way I can have life that matters, real life, not existence, like many of our friends and the way we once were before we knew Jesus, as Paul describes us, dead in our sin, dead, spiritually dead, no life, no vitality. So now we have this picture of God's Word and the Spirit of God. When they are brought together in our life, guess what happens? You have life. And there's not a one of us in this room tonight who doesn't need life, because remember this, church, you're older today than you've ever been. Oh, look at you looking around thinking, oh, my soul, he's back on that again. That's right. I am. So what takes away life? I got a big word for you. What is it that absolutely sucks the life out of you? It's in verse number 153. The prayer is this: look upon my what? What's the word? What is it? Affliction, or what else do you have in your Bible?
Suffering.
Yeah, I like affliction better. Sounds more painful. Affliction. We've talked about affliction in here before, haven't we? In fact, look at verse number 50. I want you to see it again. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has, here it is again, revived me or given me life. Here is my, okay, get the verse now. Church, this is a good one to memorize. Here is my comfort in my affliction. Is it possible to have comfort in your affliction? Yes, because God's word comforts and gives you life. What kind of afflictions do we have? Well, here's Tom over here. Tom's trying to get his back right. I mean, Tom's a tough old veteran, Cherokee Indian. He knows what, I mean, our ancestors probably ran together back in the old days. So he goes to therapy today and they break a bone in his back. So here he is. All right? Man, that hurts me, Tom, just thinking about it. I know it's hurting you right now. You're probably thinking, why don't you hurry up and finish this sermon, right? Affliction, physical affliction. Some of you, why, there's some ladies having babies, and they're thinking, why in the world did I ever agree to have a Baptist baby? And you're in the midst of affliction. Some of us have afflictions in our mind. We fight the same internal mental struggle every day. When are you going to overcome it? You're afflicted. You're afflicted in your soul. You're afflicted in your body. You're afflicted in the world. Affliction. Look. Look upon my affliction. This is the prayer. And rescue me. The point of the prayer is the life is being sucked out of me. I am losing it. I'm in affliction. I'm afflicted. Life circumstances always put us under pressure. Look, I've been the pastor here long enough. We got a catalog of affliction in this church. There's affliction all around us. There's affliction all in the world. So what do we do? Well, some have chosen just to tell everybody else how afflicted they are. And after a while, people get tired of hearing about that. Perhaps there's something else we do. We learn Psalm 119:50. This is my comfort. See, this is the theme, I believe, verse 50 is the theme for this section of Psalm 119. This is my comfort in my affliction. So, Pastor Mike, is it possible to be comforted when I'm afflicted? Yes. If you get your comfort from a supernatural source. And that's what we're here to talk about. This is why, as your pastor, I hope I always talk to you about handling the Word of God. Handling it. How do you handle it? How do you take it? How do you read it? How do you memorize it? How do you learn it? How do you keep memorizing it, keep meditating on it, keep learning it? Some of you are like me. You've been around and followed Jesus for a long time, and you probably have a lot of Bibles at your house that you've gone through. You know what you should do sometime? I did it just today. I was just looking through some other things, and I was looking through some Bibles that I have, and, you know, I mark my Bible. Some people I know, it's just, you don't mark on a Bible, but you know, I mark my Bibles. I've always marked them. And I was taught to mark them when I was just a young Christian, and it's been very helpful to me my whole life to understand how to mark my Bible. So I was looking back through and thinking, look at this. Look at this pattern. This was in a particular time in my life when I was in my 30s. And I was looking through some places there in the New Testament, and I was observing where I had worn down those pages. I'd handled that part of God's Word. Because I needed it then. But you know what? What I got there out of God's Word when I was 30 hadn't helped me at 60. I got to do something for today. That's like a memorial. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I read it. But I got to read for today. What is God's Word for me today? When you wake up every day, you say, what is God's Word for me today? Look upon my affliction, rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Look at this. Look at the determination of obedience. I'm in affliction, but I'm going to obey God. However hard it is, I'm going to obey God. Plead my cause and redeem me. And then we see the first prayer for life. Give me life according to your word, or we may say, according to your promise. Now I want you to think about this for a minute before I go. I'm spending time on this because this is important. That's a prayer every one of us ought to pray repeatedly. Give me life. Now listen, give me life according to what? Your word or your promise. So that means, now I'm going to give you some examples. That means when I'm experiencing the heaviest, deepest brokenness of my life, God's Word has something for me in my brokenness. God will give me life in my brokenness. That means when I have sin to confess in my life, according to God's Word, we know what we must do when we have sin in our life and we're back on what we've been talking about. We're back in a mess again. We have to confess our sin according to God's Word. We have to do things according to God's Word. When I am in need of wisdom, the Bible tells us how we deal with gaining wisdom. We ask for it according to God's Word. So I don't want you to miss this. Please note the prayer is very important. When you pray for life according to God's Word, God's ways are not our ways. So Gideon gathered up the troops to go do what God told him to do. And what did God tell him to do according to his word? Cut the troops. What? Cut the troops? I don't even have enough to beat these guys anyway. No, the ones that lick the water like a dog, there's your men. The water lickers. That's going to be your troops. According to God's word, that's the way it's going to be. Listen, I'm giving an example. Lord, help me in my affliction. And then the Lord gives you his word from the word of God, and that's not what you thought it would be. Don't pray, give me life according to your word. Listen, if you're not willing to obey God's word he gives you. Are you with me? That's important for us to understand here. So, first of all, God's word teaches us to call on God for help in our affliction. Second, God's living word renews our life. So again, this word revive means to renew. I want you to take your Bible and go to Proverbs 4. And we'll be switching over to Proverbs here in a couple of weeks. And we'll say goodbye to the Psalms for a while because we have some things we need to look at as a church from the book of Proverbs. But in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20, I want you to listen to these words. This is very important because this helps us understand how the word of God renews us. My son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, pay attention. Turn your ear. Listen. Do not let them depart from your sight. So hear them with your ears. Look, see them with your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now take them from your eyes and your ears and put it right inside your heart. For they are what? Life to those who find them. And health to all their body. And then we have that classic verse. So watch your heart with all diligence. See, this is back to watching and praying I've been talking to you about. Look, you can't sit before the Lord and pray if you're not. Jesus said, watch and pray. You got to look at your heart when you pray. Watch your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Okay, that's such a good verse. I want you to see also in 2 Corinthians something Paul said about the glory of God. And we've talked about this before when we talked about finding that seek. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for just a moment. I want to tie these together because this is, how do we renew ourselves, Pastor Mike? Well, there's something that happens. I cannot, the problem with us many times in our Bible study of methods is we become spiritual engineers. We try to engineer the words of God. You can't engineer God's word. And, you know, it's like A goes to B and B goes to C. It's not engineering. I love our engineers here. God bless you. But God's word can't be engineered. It's supernatural. It's above us. It's beyond our understanding. But here's my point. When I handle God's word right, remember I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about the tent. Moses set up the tent of meeting way out beyond. Now, this was before it became, the tabernacle in the midst of the camp. At the beginning, he put it way out, way away from the camp. There was the tent of meeting. And the Bible says Moses would go there with Joshua, and they would talk with God in the tent. And anybody who had a desire to speak with God would go to the tent. And we talked about the hidden life a couple of weeks ago. Your hidden life of prayer, your hidden life with God. You have to find a time to be hidden away with the Lord. And it's important for you to be renewed. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your inner room, shut the door, and pray in secret to your Father. You got to find it. You got to go to the hidden place. But a part of this is that as we read God's word, it's like looking at, God shows us out of his word something that comes back to us like a mirror. And we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 17, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Please notice, but we all, see, Moses had to cover his face. He talks about the Jewish people who still hear the word of God, the law, but there's a veil over their heart. They can't hear and understand God's word. But we who are followers of Jesus, our faces unveiled. We behold. This is the tense of this verb is the idea of, I'm looking continually as in a mirror at the glory of God, and I'm being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord to Spirit. I can't explain it, but I will tell you this from experience. The more you look into this glorious book and handle it and take these words, eternal words of life, they will change you. They'll change the way you think. They'll change your desires. They'll slow you down. They'll help you rely on the Holy Spirit and learn to pray like we're praying in Psalm 119. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me and revive me according to your word. Now we go on. We see also that God's living word reminds me of God's mercy. Oh my. What's wonderful about God's word is God's word always points us back to the character of God. Who is God? Well, we know through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God is, the unseen God, you see through the face of Jesus. But here we see this beautiful, beautiful statement in verse 155. Salvation is far from the wicked. They don't seek God's word. The wicked don't care about God's word. Salvation is far from them because they will not hear his word. God saves me when I listen to his word. And then we have this great prayer, great statement, 156. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Aren't you grateful for the mercy of God tonight in your life? Aren't you glad? I want you to just pause for a minute. This is what you do see in your quiet time, in your secret time. Sometime take a verse like that and just take a piece of paper, blank piece of paper, and write down all the mercies of God he has shown to you. You'll be shouting and singing pretty quick. God's mercy. Oh, great are your mercies, O Lord. And then notice what happens. He prays again for life. Revive me according to your ordinances. Look at verse number 77. Verse number 77 says, may your compassion come to me that I may live. I need the mercy of God to stay alive. Don't you? I need the mercy of God to stay alive. So let me read to you, and if you would like to, you can look at it. I want you to see a great story of a man who understood how to call upon the mercy of Jesus. And it's over in Mark chapter 10. Take a moment and go over to Mark chapter 10, and we'll read just these few verses. It's a very familiar story, but what a wonderful story. It reminds me of where I am in my life. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Look, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Now remember, get it in your mind. Here they go from Jericho. They're leaving Jericho. Here's a big crowd. I mean, the crowd is, remember, we're not doing Hollywood here. Remember what it was really like. It was dusty. It was loud. It was hot. It was noisy. It was distracting. And Jesus is in this mass of people. And here's his disciples. And here we have this poor, poor man, this blind man, sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. He kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Okay, now, it's a crowd. It's a mass of people. Everybody's talking. Everybody's yelling. Everybody's hollering. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David. You get the idea? I could say it for about 20 more minutes and you'd be annoyed. That's what was going on. Jesus stopped. Call him here. I love those three red letter words. Call him here. So they called the blind man and said, take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? When you call out to Jesus for mercy, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And the blind man said, Rabboni, Rabbi, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. Now we're back to Psalm 119. Great are your mercies, O Lord. There's not a one of us in this room who doesn't need to pray daily, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. In fact, in the ancient church, when people didn't have Bibles, when they were trying to teach people how to pray, many in the primitive ancient church, they were taught to pray, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. The most primitive and simple prayer, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. God's living word reminds me of God's mercy and his love and his grace and his all kinds of his righteousness, as we've seen in Psalm 119. So all through Psalm 119, another whole study would be to see how God's word reveals the character of God. But we're not going to do that in this time through. Now we go to the next picture here. God's living word creates in me a greater desire for God's word. Once you get a little of it, you want some more of it. We'll say it again. Once you get a little of it, you want some more of it. Now, folks, look, I'm saying something to you that you've said to your children. You know, you get out of something what you put into it. Have you ever said that to your kids? You get out of something what you put into it. Well, Pastor Mike, I don't get anything out of the Bible. You get out of it what you put in it. Well, I don't really get anything. It just doesn't hit me like it hits you. You get out of it what you put in it. I've said this to you before many times. You don't read one verse one time and move on like you're reading Sears Roebuck catalog. I'm really dating myself now. Do any of you young people even know what a Sears Roebuck catalog is? Do you even know what a catalog is? My point is, cursory reading never helps you with the Bible. These are eternal words. Linger on them. Pause on them. Think about them. We're not deep thinkers in America. We don't have time. Hurry up, Pastor Mike. It's 7:14. You got to get through the outline. Okay. You got to think. You got to pause. You got to reflect. So look at this. Consider, it's interesting here because some argue that verse 153, the Hebrew word should be consider, and in some of your Bibles it may be translated that way. And verse 159 is consider, and so some argue that, but they really are two different words in the Hebrew language. But in 159, here is a call in prayer for the psalmist is saying, consider how I love your word. Okay. If you tell God you love his word, he's going to know whether you're telling the truth or not. So all of a sudden, we see what we've seen before in Psalm 119. When you get a taste of this, you handle this, you experience the life-giving power of these eternal words, you love them. And notice what it says in 159. Here's the prayer again, the third time. Revive me, O Lord. Notice this time, according to your loving kindness. Oh, how I love God's word. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Remember that old hymn? Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Words of life and duty. Keep me safe. It's a beautiful thing. Notice in Psalm 119, verses 47 and 48, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. Do you love God's word? Don't answer out loud. I'm simply saying, It's an emotional attachment to these words. I shall delight in your commands, which I love. Look at this. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And then if you read in verse number 97, I have it here on the screen and in your notes. If you look at verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. If you love God's word, you must think about God's word, church. In the midst of my affliction, here's the thing, you've got a choice. You can focus all your time on your pain, and your affliction, or you can focus on God's words, which will set you free and give you life. You have to choose. What are you going to think about? In verse 127, we read, "Therefore I love your commandments above gold." This is beyond anything in my life. "Consider how I love your word." Love for God's word draws us to ask God for more of his word and more of his life. Now, what happens? I don't know. I don't know what happens in the quiet place. I don't know what happens even tonight. When we preach God's word, when we teach God's word, some of you are our teachers here. You teach the word of God to our people, and you've done your best to plan, you prepared, you've got it all laid out, and you teach it, and what you see is not necessarily that they got your point, but they received life. They come back for it. They desire it. They hear it. It does something to us. That's the Spirit of God taking the word of God, listen, and applying it in every one of our minds and our wills and our emotions. That's only what God, the Holy Spirit, can do. That's beyond any teacher or any preacher. I don't care how good they are. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And whatever methods I may use to study God's word, no, it is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life, Jesus said. And his words are spirit and life. I love your word. I love your word. So the obedient follower of the obedient Christian loves God's word. And finally, God's word is eternally true. You know, I often say it to you. I've told you this before. My old preacher friend, I quote it to you oftentimes. He said, "Mike, you know what? We're going to be studying the Bible in heaven." Yes, it's eternal words. I think he's right. I don't have a verse for it. I do maybe right here. Maybe this is my verse. Maybe this is the one. "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is eternal." Permanent. Doesn't matter what the laws of the lands are. Doesn't matter what the governments say. Doesn't matter what the different statutes of the laws of Tennessee might be, or America, or whatever you want to talk about. These ordinances, these words, these... You know, the law of God teaches us, shows us our sin, as we understand, but it also shows us God's standard for how you can live, for having a real life. And so we learn tonight, the sum of your word is truth. I gave you two other verses from 119. Verse 142, "Your righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. You are near, O Lord." Remember we talked about this the other day? "All your commandments are truth." So as we finish tonight, how do you pray for life? How do you pray for life? Well, I've given you here all of the verses with the exception of the three from this section in Psalm 119. There are 9 or 10 verses in Psalm 119 that use the word revive or give life. So it's used 9 or 10 times. So notice these. So how do I pray for life? Don't raise your hand. Anybody here tonight, your soul is clinging to the dirt? That means you're really low. If your soul is clinging to the dust, you're way down there. I mean, you're way down there. "My soul cleaves to the dust." Verse 25. Give me life. Verse number 37, if you'd like to read it. "Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity, and revive me in your ways." You know, if I look at all these things that the world says are the most important way to go, their values, their customs, their priorities, if I look at all of that, if I focus on vanity and silly things that don't matter, it sucks the life out of me. It takes me back to an old place. Revive me by your ways. So when your eyes have been looking at vanity, maybe you need to pray, "Give me back life, Lord. The life's been sucked out of me." Verse 40, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness." Verse number 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." Verse 88, "Revive me according to your loving kindness." so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. 107. Let's see it again. 107. I am exceedingly afflicted. And we are here tonight. We are. We're exceedingly afflicted. Revive me according to your word. And then 145, we see, I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. Cried with all my heart. So tonight, the three patterns of asking for life that I want you to see as we close are these. 154 says, give me life according to your promise. So what is it that the Lord has promised us? Jesus said, if you come to me, out of your inner person will flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, if we come to him, he will give us life abundant. Is that the way you're living? Give me life according to your promise. Go to the promises of Jesus. His words are eternal. They're permanent. What Jesus promised you when you first got saved is what he's still promising you now as you walk with him. Lord, I need to change my life. Good. Pick up this book and read it. Good. Good. Change your life. Handle the Word of God. Remember, as we teach here in the 2-7, you know, my old navigator days, get a firm grip on God's Word. A firm grip. You hear it, it's your thumb. You know, I can't hold my Bible up. Look, this is what happens when people try to just hear the Bible. See, it doesn't work. It's good to hear the preacher and teacher. It's not enough. You hear it. Two, you read it. That's a little bit better. Third finger, you study it. That's what we're here to teach this church to do, study the Word of God. If we don't get anything else done, before you all roll me out of here and say, there's old Pastor Mike, he was a good guy, we're going to teach people to study the Bible around here. But, oh, wait a minute, some of you are pretty good at study, but I hate to bring up these next two words. This is a hard one for some of us. You got to memorize it. Oh, that's just terrible, Pastor Mike. I don't want to memorize anything. I don't even know my phone number. And the last one's even more of a challenge. You got to meditate on it. Firm grip on the Bible. Lord, I need to change my life. Good. Handle the Word of God. Get alone, talk with the Lord, and say, give me life. Listen, according to your ordinances. And then finally, give me life according to your love. Isn't it good to know tonight, church, that we are loved by God? Isn't that good to know? Isn't that wonderful? We are loved by God. We are loved by God. So we're on an adventure. So for whatever time we have, you see, this is what we eat in order to sustain ourselves till we get to heaven. This is what we eat. You cannot just go have a biscuit. You can't, even if you put gravy on it. You cannot. It's not enough. I want to remind you again. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I must, you must, we must understand the glorious power of the living Word of God. Amen? Good to see all of you tonight. Heavenly Father, so we commit this time to you.